So, let's see, 204, let's start it now. This is the special meeting for January 19th, and we will open the meeting with public comments. After public comments, we will be doing an open discussion from everybody that calls in, and we'll be able to answer questions back and forth, but to start it, let's just open it up to public comments if there are any. I don't control Zoom, Sadie does, so if you're raising your hand or whatever.
Yeah, I switched to using an iPad today, so this is interesting, so bear with me. Right now I don't see any hands raised.
And Lori, if they are on the call now, if they want to raise their hand, what do? Go to participants or something?
They go down to the bottom of the page where it says participants. Click on that, and at the very bottom, it'll say raise your hand.
Okay. Do you see anybody?
Yes, I do. Todd, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Hi, Sadie. Hi, Chuck. It's actually Monica Shirelli, and I did miss your other meetings, but I have had people kind of send or share some ideas with me, and I wanted to share them. One was, I don't know if you guys have talked about this, but all of the porta potties currently are all in the parking lot, and I did notice that there's a lot of people using the parts during the snow flare time, and I think it would be helpful if we were able to move like 3 or 4 of them over to the park area, just so that people didn't have to cross the street and it kind of spread out where people migrate to. And then another one is, I don't know if it's a possibility, but maybe looking at the contract with the school as far as the use between the CSC and the school, and see if there's any way that the upper field at the school could be open during snow play times, especially so that people do have a place to play that's a little safer and they're not cutting the fencing on the school. I don't know. But yeah. Sorry if those have already been mentioned and brought up.
That's all right, Monica. Thank you. Any other public comments? All right. Sadie, if you could give them a little background on our first two meetings, stuff that Monica just brought up, I know we discussed this before, but just let everybody else know what's been suggested, and then we'll let the agencies do their thing.
Okay, so I'll give a little bit of the background, and then I think we should go into like roll call, because I see a bunch of different agencies and offices here, and that's awesome. That's the whole purpose of this meeting. So the background is that Wrightwood is awesome, obviously. So we have a lot of winter tourism over the holiday weekend of January 1st with the big snowstorm, and we had an influx of about 10,000 people that came up to visit, and we do not currently have the infrastructure to be able to support that. And we recognize that as a CSC, and we recognize that it's an ongoing issue. It's always going to snow here, hopefully, and we will always have visitors. So we'd like to create a concrete plan moving forward of proactive ideas to solve our problems, our challenges that we face every year. And the board has created this committee of tracking myself to do so. So far we have had 2 community meetings. The first meeting was with the business community downtown, and the second meeting was last Saturday morning with just the general community members with ideas. We're bringing these meetings to the community, that way we can get their input and preferences and see what pain points they have, and then Chuck and I will run with some of those ideas, do the research, the analysis, and bring it back to the board, the community service district, and as a board, we will decide how to move forward. So currently, the challenges are, number one, budget, is that all of you guys and the other agencies as well are facing the same challenge with coronavirus and the lack of budget all around. We are no stranger to that, and the community service district already has a very low budget, operating budget, due to taxes. We get money from taxes to run our board, and that is already spent, basically. It's very close by on it. We usually get revenue from renting the community building and the Parks and Recreation Program, and that revenue helps us provide more services for the community, which is the whole entire point of the Right with TSD, to be able to provide that targeted service that the community needs. So without that revenue, we're unable to really ebb and flow with the needs of the community. So we were hoping to brainstorm potential revenue ideas, and then also, and most importantly, work with all of you as agencies to see if we can create some sort of partnership, or if you guys have any creative ideas of how we can solve our issues without huge budget, or if we can help you and you help us of any sort. So this is a brainstorming call, and after the explanation, we'll want to hear from all of you guys. But basically, our challenge is, firstly, the traffic. And I know Caltrans is on here, Jocelyn. So we were thinking about maybe putting CMS signs at the base of Highway 2 and Lone Pine to alert the travelers of no parking on the highway, or the ticket fine is blah, blah, blah now. Because the challenge is cars are double parked on the highway. They can't park on the highway anyway, so it's a safety issue. And we can't get fire trucks and ambulances through town, or and sheriff deputies. So that's number one issue. We have to be able to provide public service, and that's a challenge. So we'll discuss that. And then one of our other challenges was portable restrooms and trash waste. We have since remedied it to an extent. We had 6 porta potties that big weekend, and they filled up really fast, and unfortunately the gas station in town and all the other porta potties were full. So people sit in traffic from LA to get to Redwood, sit on Highway 2 for an hour, and then get to town and there's nowhere to use the restroom. And that's not okay for hygiene issues. And we had a couple public comments about people who live on the highway, and there's visitors defecating on the side of the highway and whatnot, and that's an issue. And then the trash, we just did not have enough receptacles, and just, as always, people leave their trash everywhere. So those are the main points that we're trying to problem solve, and that's done through the partnership with you guys and revenue and being able to provide those other services or pay for those other services by creative revenue. So some of the ideas that we've had so far was, actually, thank you, Monica, from the principal at the elementary school. He was going to talk to his risk management person and see if we can open up that agreement to open up their field area as a safe snowplay area. Because he was saying there's people there anyway, so we might as well not make them climb through a hole in the fence. And then our offshoot idea from that was to provide the porta potty on that driveway, leaving the field and going into town. So Monica, you're right on with those ideas. That'll help with their spread out the burden of the porta potties from the community center and have it get parked, because there is a lot of people get parked. And then some other ideas was a cost sharing program with the businesses in town. So the businesses will offer to house the porta potty and track it and maintenance and all that, and then we will pay for it or some sort of agreement there. That way that spreads out the burden of the restrooms, and it helps people walking through town because they'll be looking for restrooms. And then in terms of waste, we have CRR, and they're amazing, and they're working with us, and they'll bring us dumpsters and trash in where we need. So that'll help. And then we were discussing maybe getting the businesses all like trash bags to hand out when people patron their business. And just the hardware store doesn't give people an option. When they pay for something, they get a bag. And I think that that will help either reduce the amount of trash just random places, and maybe it'll be in a trash bag, or people bring it home. And just other ideas were to find revenue in other places, maybe pay for parking on the school district parking lot or downtown, or working with property owners downtown in a vacant lot and charging for parking of some sort. Use that money to go staff extra patrol, teach to your deputies, or provide for supportable residents. And let's see what else. We have a lot of residents in the community that are willing to help, and the ongoing theme is that everybody is saying they want to donate, which is awesome. We have a great community, but this is an ongoing problem. So Chuck and I really want to find a way to be self-sufficient and find a way to fix this problem without relying on donations every year. I think that was the gist of it, Chuck. Did I miss anything?
Yeah. No, just the one thing that I would say is the sheriff at the last council meeting, or board meeting, I should say, had mentioned that they had given out a little over 450 tickets that weekend. And I believe the tickets are raised to $150. And that could be like $65,000. And what we need to do is, I'm glad we have the staff from supervisor's office. Are you with, Kristen, are you with Supervisor Cook or the whole supervisor?
Yeah, I'm a Chris reporter with Supervisor Cook's office, and right now we're actually working on that. Lori reached out to us last week about that. So right now our staff is working with Treasury to find out where those funds are going and see if the board has the power to redirect some of those funds. So
we're not asking for it for our general fund or anything like that. What we would like to do is take some of those funds and be able to get the Sheriff's Department and the CHP to maybe put another officer up here on overtime or whatever they need to do, and we could use that money to supplement their pay. I know they're as, you know, in bad shape as we are on budgets and those types of things, but if we could just turn around and use some of that fine money, it might help staffing of the Sheriff's Department and the CHP. Since you started, Kristen, why don't you say it again, your name, your spot, and we'll go right around everybody that's on the call right now, and then we'll start the actual meeting.
So again, my name is Chris Porter, or CJ, from Supervisor Cook's office. And in regards to the ticketing, we have our staff currently looking into that with the county treasurer to find out where those funds are going. So I know that you guys are providing some of those porta potties as well, and how does that administer sense? So as soon as we have an answer on that, we'll send it over to Lori to see what's going on.
Outstanding. Thank you. John? If you can introduce yourself and whether you're a resident or with an agency, please.
He doesn't have audio.
He says he doesn't have audio. Okay. John Aziz. All right. We know John. I saw him on chat.
Where's John from? Can you share the rest of that?
He's a fire safety council. He's local. He's a communications director for OES for Wrightwood, by the way. Sheriff, you need to unmute yourself. There we go.
Yes, Sergeant Paul Solario. I am a community member, but I am the sergeant in charge of the field substation, which covers the Wrightwood area.
Outstanding. All right. Who we got? Ben, are you got a way to communicate yet, this call? Ben Smith? I do.
Oh,
video. Wow. All right.
You know, audio should be all good today. The other day I was on the computer with just chat options. So I'm here, Ben Smith, Vice President of Mount Nye Ski Resort.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Who we got next? Dave Corbin?
Good afternoon, everyone. Dave Corbin. I'm an assistant chief of San Bernardino County Fire. I oversee the North Desert Division, which includes Wrightwood, Lucerne, all the way out to the Nevada border. So happy to be a part of the meeting today.
All right. Thank you for being with us. Let's see. Joshua, I guess, who do we have with Joshua? That's our Caltrans, I guess. There we go.
Hi there. My name is Jocelyn Whitfield. Thank you for the invitation. I am the legislative and governmental liaison. I'm the manager for governmental and oh my gosh. I am. This is about my fifth meeting today, and I don't know what's going on with my brain. But anyway, I am the legislative and governmental manager for Caltrans District 8. And I appreciate the invitation, and I'm here to listen to find out what your concerns are. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Dan Ross, CRNR.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Dan Ross. I'm doing operations here in the local facility in Palin, Brightwood area. Here to help I can.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah, we appreciate what you've been doing for us the last 4 or 5 years. While the CSD has been in existence. Who do we have from the Wrightwood property owners? Is that you, Randy?
Yep, it's me. I got to remember to click on the right button to unmute. But yes, we're here, and we're the Wrightwood Property Owners Association, and we're very interested in Property Owners Association on a good solution to these problems going forward.
All right, thank you. We have Pamela Wright, who is my campaign manager, but the election's over, so I'm not sure where she's at with the chamber or anybody else. Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah, I am here, and I appreciate you having all of the public meetings. It really is important to me, and I believe that all citizens in Wrightwood value you listening to the public and leading the charge on helping to make this a livable experience. So thank you for your service, and appreciate all of the other agencies being here as well.
Thanks, Pamela. Let's see, Wendy?
Yes.
If you could introduce yourself and let people know where you are in Wrightwood, as opposed to just, you're not with an agency, I don't believe, you're a resident.
I am a resident, and maybe I misunderstood. I thought it was open to your residents.
It is.
Here?
No, it is.
Oh, okay, very good. Yes, we are, we actually were weekenders for many years, and now we're here full time, so,
good.
So I'm just getting more involved in the community and seeing how things are done and moving. And so I just had a few ideas that I shared in the last meeting. So that's why I'm here today.
All right. Thank you. Andrea, or Andrea, I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
Hi. It's Andrea.
Andrea. All right.
So I'm a resident. I live on the west side, and I'm curious if the gentleman from Supervisor Cook's office got my letter. I did try to copy the Assemblyman's office, the CSD, and Supervisor Cook's office on the specific. I guess my letter was more about the west side, the specific concerns on the west side, but obviously, you know, just one piece of the puzzle, and I just appreciate everybody chiming in and trying to be proactive about this.
All right, thank you. I'm going to open up the meeting now for the discussion, which can go back and forth. I am going to try to just listen, and if we need to pop in, we will, but I think Sadie and I are more interested in the input from the other people. So, Christian, if you could answer Andrea's question about did you guys receive her letter.
Yeah,
how
many offices
are
you sent to?
Would
they be local office or the one
in Denver,
you know?
I called and got an email address, so I think it was the local.
Okay, you emailed it?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't been in the office lately because we are still working on setting up our district office, so I've been working remotely. Do you know who you sent that letter to?
I have to look it up. I don't have it right in front of me right now.
No, that's fine. if you give our office a call again with their email phone number, they should be able to help you. If not, I can put my email address in the chat and let you know.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Arjun, what's your perspective since they're talking about having snow a few days this week and probably by Thursday, maybe even a foot? How does it affect the Sheriff's Department and what's the staffing like, those types of things?
Well, right now, as most of you know, there is a deputy that's assigned strictly up here to the right with Vera. He's here Wednesday through Saturday. So he would be up here to help with the snow patrol as normal. Basically, right now, what goes on is every day I check the weather reports, look to see what kind of snow we're getting. Because of the lack of overtime funds that we currently have, basically I have to wait till the day of once it starts snowing to see what kind of actual snow we're going to get. And then I can start trying to staff additional deputies up here for snow patrol. What I did the week of January 1st, for the most part, we had two deputies up here. One of them, like I said, was the deputy that's assigned up here already, and then an additional deputy. If we could pull somebody from a specialized division to help out, that would alleviate the overtime, and that's what we were doing. How I still spent, I paid 98 hours of overtime for that week alone to make sure that we had deputies up here for staffing for, like, for the snow patrol stuff. So right now, honestly, it's a day-to-day thing. I'm currently on vacation. However, I've been to the office every single day so far on my vacation just because of the snow patrol stuff. Many of you don't know when Jeffy issues a citation for snowflake or what have you. Those people, once they take possession of that citation, they can fight the citation, so I have to do administrative reviews of each citation. So I've been doing that all weekend so far of everybody wanting to, you know, dismiss their citation for snowflake. One of the things I did notice looking at a lot of those administrative reviews is, and I'm not sure if it is the CSD that would help out with it or exactly who, but I know right down Wright Mountain, Zermatt, Pacific Crest area, there's not a whole lot of no parking signs. Now, if the more signs there are, the easier it is for us to enforce the snowflake. A lot of those, I still went ahead and went with the original citation for the snowflake. I explained to people on their reviews that it's up to them to know where they're allowed to go play in the snow and where not to. So it's not, it may be on the Redwood CSD webpage as well. If we could let people know exactly where they can and cannot play in the snow, that would help out as well.
Great suggestion. Thanks, Asia. As far as the no parking signs, I believe that's County Public Works. I don't believe that's Caltrans unless it's on Highway 2. Is that correct, Jocelyn?
Yes, that's correct. Our only jurisdiction is on State Route 2.
Okay. Christopher, you're going to have a long list before this call is over. So we'll let you take that in. I believe that we're going to have to try to get together with L.A. County because I know one of Andrea's suggestion was to let people know that when they turn up Cardinal or Plume, there's no way to go across to the village. There's a wash there, and so what happens is they're going up her street and then down her street because you can't get to the village unless you're on Highway 2. If you've turned up Plume or Cardinal. So I believe we need to get San Bernardino for the street Cardinal and Los Angeles County for Plume if we could get some type of signs there. I don't think that's an unreasonable request. And if we could eliminate some of the traffic on the west side of town, that might help us a little bit.
Right. Part of that, yeah. Put a sign on Cardinal. What exactly the sign for?
What happens, Christian, is if you turn and go up south on Cardinal, there's actually no street that cuts across east and west to the village. you literally have to go back down and go Highway 2, and I think Spruce is the first street that'll, if you go up Spruce, that you could cut across to get into the town, Park and Pine and those streets. If you go off Cardinal, you're locked into that street, so you turn around and come back down to Highway 2. Now, the actual wording, I'd take suggestions from anybody. I don't know if Andrea has any suggestions on that. It basically tells the people there's no outlet. Go ahead, Lori.
I was going to say, basically, Chris, it was suggested that we have no outlet signs on those particular streets.
Outstanding. Thank you, Lori.
Is there any other street besides Cardinal?
Well, Flume, but I believe that's technically in L.A. County.
Okay. If you have anything else like that, just let me know.
Okay. Appreciate it. Anybody else want to pop up? Dave, what's the House of Fire doing? Fire Department doing?
We're actually doing pretty well right now. We're digging into budget season, so it's just that busy time of the year again. We do have, actually this would be a little bit of interest to Wrightwood, because of the amount of people that we are seeing going off with COVID, which seems to be stabilizing right now. But with the within the ambulance ranks, we have a number of these people that are out, as well as a number of vacancies. So because of that, last Saturday, we changed their shift schedule temporarily from a three platoon system like we normally do, where they work 48 straight hours and go home for 4 days. What we're doing now is putting them on for 7 straight days, and then they go home for 7 straight days, which is a two platoon schedule. So they'll be on duty for a full week before they go home.
Are those 24-hour shifts, Dave?
They are. So it's 24 consecutive. Shifts. So, unfortunately, that's the only way we can keep everything staffed right now. What it does do for us in our region is put 3 extra boxes in the system. But as people are going off sick, the idea is to not call people back. So those boxes will kind of dwindle as those times occur. So hopefully this is a short-term issue and we can resume back to normal as staffing levels come back up. And I'm confident that within the next few weeks, we'll see that happen. Other than that, we've over the past, we didn't do it this last weekend, but with the amount of crowds that have been up in the area with the snow, we've been staffing an extra ambulance. I don't really have the room for it up at the Wrightwood station right now because we do have the one ambulance. We've been putting at Station 10 over in Thielen, which is just a short run up the hill for additional aid up in the region. So we have had that extra box. It's worked out pretty well. And we're probably, once again, as the snowfall hits and the crowds start coming up, we'll definitely be adding that extra box in the system to help alleviate some of that call volume.
Now, your ambulances, the box that you say, they're responding to, obviously, medical aid, that type of thing. Do you get the medic engine involved in that, or is that just strictly as a backup to the box ambulance?
So that's actually a very good question. Normally, yes, we do have that. So the ambulance will respond on certain types of calls by themselves, some of the lower acuity ones. And the engine would respond to the higher level acuity calls. But with COVID, we changed that policy countywide. And it's not just county fire, but it's also all the other fire departments within the county. Because the call volume has been so high with COVID out there that for calls that we call alpha calls, which are very low acuity calls, going with a bloody nose or a stomach ache or just typical flu symptoms, we send an engine, and we call this program Assess and Refer. So we just send an engine to that call. They will actually go assess the patient, determine whether that patient actually does need an ambulance, and then they'll call the ambulance out. If they don't need an ambulance, they will help the patient find the care they need
whether it's referring them to their own personal doctor or urgent care facility, or as you know, some insurance companies have their own nurse hotline. We may refer them to them. But the idea here is to keep it's two things: it's to keep the ambulances available for the higher acuity calls, strokes, the heart attack, traffic accidents, that things that can occur. But it's also to try to limit the amount of people being transported to the hospitals that don't necessarily need to be seen in a hospital. And that is relieving some of the load out of the emergency rooms. And we're seeing, and I'm sure you guys have all seen it on the news, we're actually seeing our ambulances at times waiting 6 to 8 hours before they can even offload a patient. So we've been doing this now for about a month, and we are starting to see some results from it, which is a good thing.
Outstanding. Thank you, Dave. Sergeant, since you're on vacation, unless somebody has got a question for you and nobody else objects, I'm fine if you need to sign off and get back to your vacation time.
I do have a question, Evan.
Okay.
Is it okay?
Sure.
I'm wondering how many overtime hours are you allocated? And what is the budget that you start a year with, typically?
Well, the budget is set downtown. Right now, they don't give me the exact number based on the weather. Obviously, if it's continually snowing and we need bodies, then I'm going to staff those bodies. But we were told basically, yes, we do have some overtime available for deputies for snow patrol, but if you can use straight planters, like I said, using deputies from other positions, having them fill in for the day here and there, and we're paying them just a regular time, they're not on overtime, but they don't give me an exact number of how much, especially this year with COVID. Originally, we were told this summer that we were going to have no overtime budget to start off with and just to handle it the best we could. Luckily, as when it got closer, and they realized that the budget wasn't as bad as what they had predicted. They were able to give us some overtime, but at a sergeant level, they don't tell me exactly how much money that is.
And how do you personally determine how many officers you're going to need for a snow event?
The most I'm allowed to staff is 3 per day. That has come down from the command staff downtown. I try to, like I said, staff at least 2 to try to save up on the overtime budget. That way I can spread out the overtime rather than just spending it all for one particular time of year, have it available throughout the year when we do possibly get more snowstorms. I know with the El Nino conditions, we typically get more snowstorms in February, later that month. And so I'd like to try to have it available so I can at least have 2 deputies throughout the 12-time play. So like I said, every morning I'm checking the weather. I'm looking to see what National Weather Service is predicting as far as snow accumulation. I typically, when I am working and we have snow on the ground, I drive up here during the day so I can check the snow melt to see what it's going to look like for the upcoming weekend. So all that comes into play. And then once I make a determination of how many bodies we may need, being if this is a sheriff's department, then I have to let it through my lieutenant. And if he agrees with me, then I will staff those boxes. If he says no, staff less, then I have to staff less.
And what is the time of your staffing? Is it 8 to 5? I mean, what
we've been typically doing, for the pre-planned times, I staff bodies from 8 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. Because usually by about 5 o'clock, it would be dark out. Most people were leaving the mountain. So we didn't have to really worry about the snowflake after dark. And it gave the deputies about an hour of time where they could finish with all their paperwork on their citations and get them turned in at the office.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any more, Dan?
Yeah, 10 more. All right. And when you are requesting deputies or assigning them the task that they're doing, is it most likely just traffic enforcement on those streets that are not State Highway 2, or are they responding to other calls? What is the most typical thing that they do?
Most typically, when I sign up for Smoke Patrol, they will handle, they will be out a lot of times on foot citing vehicles. We typically don't do any enforcement on Highway 2 because that is CHP's jurisdiction. So we try to stick to a lot of the roads, mainly on the south side, where we have a lot of snow that sticks because of the sunlight. Now, if there are calls for service, the deputy will typically handle those as well, just because of it takes so long for a responding deputy, say, from Phelan just to get up here because of all the traffic. So if the deputies are already up here, they can handle those calls. Today, in that week of the first, we did take one report, and that was for an assault and battery case from the Snow Patrol deputies that were already up here.
All right, thank you. Wendy, did you have a question for the sergeant?
Well, you actually answered it because I wondered who was, which office was responsible for Highway 2. And so he said it's the CHP, and I just wondered if there's anybody from CHP on here today.
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
Okay.
So last time we were discussing about different ideas, and I wondered if that had already, is that something that we're going to get to later on? As far as I mentioned having like some sort of a gate guard on Highway 2, and actually ask for admission to get into the town to help cover some of the costs of everything that's piling up. And so I wondered if that's something that's going to be addressed later or not.
Well, Wendy, I was totally intrigued when you said Monterey shuts down Highway 1 and charges for people to drive through Highway 1 up there in Monterey.
It's not actually Highway 1. It's by the golf courses. So what they do is they had a problem years back, and so what they do is they have an admission to the 17-mile drive. And so they charge $10 a vehicle, and that's the gate fee, and it gets reimbursed with a purchase of $35 or more at any of the restaurants or resorts that are there. So basically, something like this would be effective in that we're not saying people can't come in. We're just saying people can't come in and not sit at the restaurants and not just go play snow anywhere else, and it would also help with some of the porta potties. It would help with bringing some revenue into our town and not just having a bunch of trash left over and having people defecate in different parts of our town because there's no porta potties.
All right. I know we have Jocelyn from Caltrans on, and we also have Kristen from Supervisor's Office on, and I'm not sure that we are able to put a gate on Highway 2 and charge people to drive through.
No.
So
all state highways are open to everyone. Everybody's tax dollars pays for them, so there's no private opportunities for towns that are along a state highway. So we are not able to do anything of that sort. When you said that Highway 1 had done that, I nearly fell off my chair, so I'm glad you corrected that and said it was a private road. So I'm sorry. As a state highway, it is open to everyone, and we are not able to limit people coming and going as the town would wish. Sorry.
I don't want to butt in, but Sarge, does anybody have any more questions for the sergeant so we can get him home? I appreciate you spending your vacation time with the sergeant, and if you need to, you're more than welcome to stay, but if you need to go ahead.
I appreciate it. I also sent my email in the chat, so if anybody has any additional questions, you can go ahead and email me, and I will get back to you as soon as I can.
Outstanding. Thank you for your participation.
You're welcome,
sir. Okay, let's see. Todd Christensen. Can lone time be limited to just private access? I'm not sure if that's a county road or is that
Ohio that's considered county.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the county's position would be on something like that. Christian, could you answer that one, or do you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That might be something to look into if public works. I'm assuming with most of these roads, I don't think that that would be an option. I mean, I don't know for sure. I'm just assuming.
Okay.
So I go ahead and ask, and if talking to somebody's contact information in the chat, I'll send it over to our constituent services reps and have them get in touch with him.
Outstanding. Thank you. Wendy, just to answer your question, when we finish this one, meaning Sadie and myself, I have all the suggestions that have been given us. We will organize them and do a presentation to the entire five-person board on February 2nd, I believe, the next board meeting. So we will look at them. I can't guarantee or even say that anybody, you know, that some of them might just get thrown out right away. I know a lot of these issues, parking and other things, are intriguing, but I also know they've been discussed in the past, and I'm not sure what our new board will be looking at. But we will be presenting a report to them on the second Wednesday if you're interested in hearing that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Who else we got? Dan, I know part of our problem has been the porta potties and not having enough and having them fill up. Part of the problem is the septic people that we use don't clean them out. They only clean them out on Fridays, which is what we originally had contracted for. Now we have, after the last snow, we added four new porta potties for a total of 10. And Lori has contracted for the clean out on Friday and Monday. Problem is, they don't work on the weekends, and it doesn't take very long for those things to fill up. I'm intrigued about the business partnership. If we can get them, I'm intrigued that some of the areas that people were talking about putting the porta potties, meaning on Main Street, which is Park, I believe, and also over by the school, baseball field. We had someone that suggested doing them on the turnout, and Jocelyn, don't go into cardiac arrest now. We know that we can't do it on the turnout.
Thank you.
We've had some good things. I'm happy to see Christian writing these things down, and hopefully he'll get it to the right people. As far as what we knew, I do believe the signs and those type of things are the public works type of situation. And I believe that if we can get them interested a little bit, maybe we could get together or have them get together with Lori and get into specifics as far as where the signs would be of help to us. But that's down the line. I don't want to cut off anybody that's got some stuff to say. So is there anybody else that has any comments that they want to say?
Chuck, this is Jocelyn.
Yes.
Sadie began by giving us a summary and talking about CMS signs and such. I'm not clear on what your need is specifically, what the signs would say, where you want them. I cannot make any promises whatsoever that we have signs available, but I'm looking to understand better what your needs are.
You want to answer that, Sadie?
Yeah, so the signs itself, we were talking to the sheriff, and I'm sure it was you, Steve, they were saying that they were trying to ticket the people who were snowplowing and parking on the highway, but those people had taped over the metal signs. And so they could not legally ticket them because there technically wasn't a sign. So we were talking with them about maybe putting up a CMS sign on Highway 2 or a Lone Pine. I don't know yet what exactly it would say. I know that it has to be road specific if it is on Highway 2. And something along the lines of no parking or a ticket of $150 or something of that sort, but specific to Highway 2. But that was just a brainstorm idea. So we haven't gotten into concrete ideas. So we aren't asking for anything specific yet unless you have recommendations.
I do not, but I will put my email into the chat so that you have it, but if anybody else needs it, if you do have suggestions, we have to look at everything from the bigger picture, of course, as I mentioned earlier, but we'd be willing to try to help if we can.
Outstanding, and we will know a little bit more February 2nd when the board hopefully will vote on some of these solutions, and we might come to you after that meeting and say, we need a sign, until the board votes on it, we're just taking the information right now. Okay, I know John Aziz has, I don't know if he's run it or I know he's been a big part of it, the Winter Traffic Meeting every November, I think. I know I've been to three of them, and where all the agencies got together or anything else. John, is there anything that you can contribute at this right now? Let's see if he's in chat and type something in or not. Hate to put you on the spot, but that's all right. Don't see anything.
I have a question.
Sure.
We're talking about signs and all these issues. Is it legal to snowflake anywhere in Wright Loop? Because technically, anywhere that they park on Highway 2 is illegal. So I'm just wondering, we don't have designated snowflake areas. I mean, if there was a sign that said no snowflake in Wrightwood other than Mountain High, that might be useful. Or do we want to have snowflake areas? Because really, we don't have any. They're illegal.
I was thinking about that too in the apartment. I was talking about educating the visitors on safe no play areas. So that would be an interesting question. I don't think we do. I mean, the parks maybe. So that's definitely something I'm looking forward to researching more. That could be good.
That's certainly not one of our powers. As the board, but one of our powers is parks and recreation, so, you know, maybe the school park area type of thing. I know our grants, we're looking at upgrading different areas, and hopefully, the reason I say hopefully is because the last three meetings we kept pushing it back to try to get answers from the county. But we do have $183,000, and one of the areas they're looking at is a park on the east side. I'm not sure that is going to go through, but as soon as that is voted on, because there's two different proposals, then we'll be in a better position to write the grants and hopefully start using that $183,000 to upgrade things that we need. Is that about right as far as what we're waiting on, Lori?
To my knowledge, is for the board to pick a project before we can even move forward on anything.
Right. So we are working behind the scenes, but as far as designating areas, for snow playing, I really don't see the CSD having that authority. I could be definitely wrong, but right now I don't see that as our authority.
Okay. Well, there's no place along Highway 2. Everything says no parking. There's no parking along Lone Pine. However, that doesn't stop anybody from parking there, but the signs are there. So there is one area that they park off of Highway 2, and there's like a little bowl depression area where that might be legal there. I don't know how safe it is, but...
On the east side?
Yeah.
Is it legal for them to, you know, to wash between Cardinal and the Village? Is that a legal snow play area? I mean...
No.
No.
That is overrun.
No, it's actually quite dangerous, in my opinion, but, you know, those aren't my children down there.
Yeah, and one of my things in my letter was cars are actually pulling onto there, depending on how, you know, deep the snow is and what the conditions are, and trying to cut around traffic. They've cut through the underbrush and gotten to the wash, and then they go speeding down the wash. And people are laying there. It's so dangerous.
We have a chat from John to everyone. It says, all property from Mountain High East to below Wright Mountain Road is private property. So it's, unless they invite people on, that's obviously a no snow player area. But, you know, you really come back down to the sheriff has two or three people. And you get 10,000 people up here and they stop and play wherever they're going to play. I don't know if that's just an impossible situation for the sheriff's department or not. And the CSD has no authority as far as sheriff or CHP or law enforcement, really. So I'm not sure, you know, that there is a solution to that type of stuff. And I'm certainly open to it because I have a problem going from Willow to the market, and that's less than four or five buildings. It's brutal when the snow's here and there's a lot of people on the road. But I don't know.
Okay.
Yes.
Two things. One is, even though the CSD is responsible for parks and recreation in Wrightwood, that doesn't mean that we have the ability or the responsibility to provide park services that include parking or play areas for the whole Southern California region to enjoy the snow. I think it's a futile effort to try to provide some place thinking that if we give them this area to park or this area to enjoy the snow, that will resolve the problem. Because 10,000 people is more people than even live here. So that's not the responsibility of the CSB, and it is an impossible task. But if we can help guide them through the village and past where it is public land again, then that might work while we're policing, if you will, as they go through the area and not overcome the facility or infrastructure that we do have here. And one of those things would be trying to connect them with either forest area where they can play or tell them where they can play instead of where they can't play, or even recruit other businesses such as Mountain High or help to support Mountain High so that people are connecting with those services for their play and not relying on the village of Wrightwood.
Hey, that's a good point. We ought to make sure that's in our report.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pamela. Okay, we're running down to our hour. Is there anything else that people want to put on the record right now and have Sadie and I look at it for our report for February 2nd?
We have a couple hands. Pamela, you just talked. Todd? I'm sorry. Going back to directing people, I was up in Idlewild about a year ago, I think, and I went into the coffee shop, and they literally had this, like, little flyer that showed
all the different instances that were legal to snow play. So as a community, we can maybe come up with something and give to all the businesses, and even maybe on the sign direct people, like you can grab something at the business, and you can literally direct people all the way up as far as Vincent Gap, as far as all the legal areas to play, just to kind of push them out of town more.
Good idea.
I don't know. It was a really helpful thing. It kind of gave all these different informations, and then also where the payable snow play areas were. I thought it was really cool.
All right. Thank you.
That's a great idea. We like to go see the fall colors up in the Sierra Nevadas every year, and you go to any of the local shops, and they give you a map of where all the fall color is, so they kind of direct you so that you can do your own driving. So something like that is really, really effective. I like Monica's idea.
Yeah. Great
idea. Yeah. Just so you know, the California section in the Los Angeles Times newspaper was talking about the frustration they're having up in Tahoe area, where half of it is California regs and half of it is Nevada regs. But they were interviewing some of the townspeople in Truckee and in Reno City that we're basically talking exactly what we're talking about, where the traffic was horrendous, the trash was, you know, terrible, people double parking and things like that. So it's certainly an issue that hits a lot of the smaller towns, and we are definitely one of the smaller. Okay, I'm going to close this thing off shortly unless somebody else has got something to say or get on the record. If not, I really appreciate. Oh, wait a minute, we got Ben on.
Got a hand up.
Hey, a few notes to hit on. As far as you asked about kind of the winter travel meeting, and a lot of stuff goes on with that with the agencies, and most people don't realize all the different agencies. I just kind of started jotting down my notes between. Basically, we have two Forest Service we deal with between San Bernardino and the Angeles. Three different CHP offices, Victorville, San Bernardino, and Antelope Valley. We got two counties that we deal with, which is Los Angeles and San Bernardino. And this goes to both the supervisor's office and the sheriff district. And then for the Caltrans side, we deal with districts on that. I believe it to be 7 and 8. But I think most of it falls under 8 during the winter time. And I'm sure I'm missing a few more or something like that, but it just goes to the complexity of all the different agencies we do deal with up here. And to answer kind of throw in my comments to a snowplay issue, from a Mountain High standpoint, we definitely see people that will pay for snow play and people that won't pay for snow play. So just wanted to throw that point out there.
So isn't Mountain High free, Ben?
Somebody's got to pay my wages.
Ben, I was wondering, how would Mountain High be receptive to a sign as people are leaving the Mountain High area saying, next restroom in town, possibly 2 hours away?
Yeah. Is that in context to the traffic?
Yes.
Between Mountain High and town, I can add a comment there about a stop sign, but I'm not sure how to step that one at this point in time. As far as signage along the highway, every bit, because of whether it be Caltrans or whether it be the Forest Service on our aspect, we'd have to get approvals and such on, but not against it.
Oh, good to know.
So there is approval processes we have to get through for it, so it's not just a go put up a sign.
We can't just say Ben said it was okay?
I hear that quite often. So, no.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else from anybody? All right. Thank you all for participating. I look forward to working with Sadie to come up with a report for the entire board. And appreciate the people that from the supervisor to Mountain High, the property owners, to the whole bit, fire and sheriff, I thank you all. And we will sign off on this one now.